Let's talk about the declining oil prices in the 1950s. That caused financial difficulties for him.
Yes, it did. He had already made arrangements to buy several collections and artifacts, and he all of a sudden didn't have the money. Also, he owed some back taxes that he just didn't have the money to come forward with because the oil prices had dropped so low. That's when he went and talked to the city because he did not want the collection to leave Tulsa, but he was going to be forced to sell it out to cover his debts if they didn't pass the bond issue. So the mayor at that time, the city council, pushed forward the bond issue. And as you said earlier, I think it passed 3-1.
It was 3-1. The $2.25 million bond issue, which paid his outstanding debts.
He pledged oil royalties to pay the bond issue off.
He committed his oil property to Tulsa for the museum maintenance until the bond was fully repaid.
That's correct. In 1981.
You know, it's interesting. Some things are just meant to be, aren't they?
Yes.
Have you ever wondered if he did not have to go to the city and say, hey, you have to take this over, if he would have kept it till his death? You certainly have wondered about what would have happened to it.
I believe that had he still been alive after the debt was paid off, that when he died, all of the museum property would have gone into the foundation.
Okay, and there still is a foundation to this day.
It is.
So then you think the foundation would have operated the museum?
I do. Of course, Dad died early. I think it would have probably fallen to the 5 grandchildren to carry it forward. We're operating the foundation at this time, trying to keep everything going. Learned pretty quick.
That foundation exists today, whatever it's worth. What is that money used for today?
It's for grants, 503C grants. It's other foundations, churches, schools. One of the grants that I made was a scholarship to SFA up here for Native Americans. It's named after my father.
Thomas Gilchrist, Jr. I was also reading where he admired Charles Page of Sand Springs.
Yes.
Of Charles Page's home for children and for mothers, single mothers. They sheltered, educated, and cared for hundreds of boys and girls. And he wanted to repeat what Charles Page had done. He provided funding to many students at Bacon College.
Yes, he did.
Speaking of money, a lot of people would think, as wealthy as Thomas Gilchrist was, that all this money would then come down to heirs and down to you, and you guys would be living in the lap of luxury.
No.
Not. Granddad, in his will, said that throughout his lifetime, he had provided very well for his family. He was leaving everything to the foundation and a couple of other small charities. I think he left $1 to each. Uncle Bart and Dad.
They each got $1. Everything went to the foundation?
Yes. He knew that Dad and Bart would go ahead and continue on with the foundation. That's why he put everything in there.
But nothing came to them
from
the foundation?
Nope. Not a penny. It all went to the foundation.
How do you feel about that?
That was his choice.
His will.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what he wanted.
Not every family legacy has a rich person that leaves money to carry it on. I mean, other people just do things different ways, and that was why he wanted it set up.
Yeah.
It gave a way for the money to continue on and do good for other people rather than just be split between family members and blown, you know.
Yeah. You know, the city of Tulsa and the whole world benefited from Thomas Gilchrist.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best treasure in the world.
There's no question about that.
No question.
It's just that that's the way he handled it. But a lot of wealthy people have done that very same thing.
Yes.
Give $1, $1, $1, $1, and it all goes into that. And so it's up to your father then to make his own way.
Well, like great-granddad said, every man must make a track, and it might as well be a good one.
Yeah, you go.